So I don't know how many of you know how you got your name, right? The short story of how I got my name is that my dad lost an argument with my mom, and there's not a whole lot behind it, right? So when my parents were married and we were thinking about having kids, they came up with this rule that if it was a boy, my dad would be able to name the boys, and if it was a girl, my mom would be the one to name the girls. And so my name is Mark, and my dad's name is Mark, which isn't unusual to have a son named after the father. What's unusual about it is that I'm the second son. And typically, you name the first son after the father. Well, my older brother's name is Christian. And after he was born, after they had filled out all the paperwork and had all the government documents taken care of, the birth certificate and all these things, and they'd been calling him Christian for a couple weeks, they were leaving the hospital. And my dad, I guess, had second thoughts about it. And he turned to my mom and he said, "You know, I've been thinking, maybe we should change his name to Mark." At which point my mom said, "Seriously? We have all the paperwork finished. We've been calling him Christian for weeks now. His name is Christian." And so this is how I ended up with the name Mark. My dad lost the argument with my mom. And maybe you don't know where you got your name. Maybe, you know, you might be named after a family friend or an old relative in your family. You know, in the Bible, names had meanings. And so in some cultures, and even in our day, some names still have meanings, and you might know the meaning of that. But regardless of whether you know the history of your name or the meaning of your name, one thing that is true is that names have power and effect and influence on us, because names end up representing reputations. Right, so you can be at work and your boss says, "I need you to work with this person." And you hear their name. And your stomach sinks because you're like, "Oh, I don't want to work with them." Maybe it's the other way around and you hear, you get to work with this person, and all of a sudden you're jumping for joy because they're a great person, you love working with them, they're an awesome friend, and it's going to be all kinds of happiness and joy on the work project. Right? Maybe you're at home and your spouse is talking on the phone and you go, "Who are you talking with?" And then you hear their name. And then all these thoughts race into your mind. "Oh, why are they talking with them? What do they want now?" Or you hear their name, and all of a sudden you get excited. "Oh, wow, you're catching up with them. How are they doing? Tell them I said hi." See, names can have a profound effect on us, because names represent reputations. And so as we start looking at different stories throughout the book of Acts, one of the things we're going to see is that the name of Jesus is proclaimed over and over and over again by the apostles. And they always say it's by the power of the name of Jesus. So I have a question. What do you think of when you hear the name Jesus? Maybe you think of grace, you think of forgiveness, you think of Savior, you think God, you think of love, right? I have a friend of mine who is not a Christian, and even this week she and I were talking, and she even said, "Well, Jesus is all about love." These are some of the words that might pop into our heads as we hear the name of Jesus. And one word that I suppose if we spent enough time gathered around coming up with a list of words that come up when we hear the name of Jesus, but might not be on the tip of our tongues, is the word power. Sometimes we don't think that there is power in the name of Jesus, but when we look in the book of Acts, we see that the early church, that the apostles and all their preaching and miracles and all the things that they did, at the center of it was the power of the name of Jesus. And we know this is true even if it doesn't sink into our hearts. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And so we know in our heads the name of Jesus has power. But if you look at how I live and how you live, we typically don't live as Christians who believe that the name of Jesus has power. We often fall into habits and routines of living in fear. And when we see this story in Acts chapter 4, we see that the apostles live in the power of the name of Jesus. And if you're like me, maybe you've looked at the stories of the book of Acts and you've gone, man, I would love to have faith like that. I would love to be brave and bold and courageous in my faith like the apostles. Yet I know in my own life, I always fall short of that. I always seem to shrink back into living out of fear instead of power. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. The apostles live in this power. But it wasn't always like that. In our gospel reading in John chapter 20, we see that the apostles look a little bit more like you and me. Instead of living in power and with bold courage and great faith, they're actually gathered together in fear. And so in John chapter 20, verse 19 says, when it was evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, they were afraid of being associated with the name of Jesus. They were afraid of people finding out that they were followers of Jesus, and that if they were found out they were followers of Jesus, they were going to lose their jobs or were put in prison or, worse, be killed like Jesus was. Have you ever noticed that it's really easy to talk about faith and God and spirituality in general sense? You can have lots of conversations. Most people are open to it, no matter what their religious background is. Most people are open to these conversations. But as soon as you bring up Jesus, as soon as you say what Christians believe, that Jesus is God, that Jesus rose from the dead, the Easter message, the tone of the conversation dramatically changes. Becomes a little more uncomfortable. People get a little more uneasy. And so, like the disciples, we can become timid and we can be people that live in fear of being associated with the name of Jesus. Maybe you're a little bit afraid or embarrassed to be associated with the name of Jesus because of how other Christians and how other people who claim Jesus behave and speak and treat others. So the disciples are gathered together behind locked doors because they are afraid to be associated with the name of Jesus. Now, what I find so fascinating about this, not that it's just starkly different compared to how they behave in the book of Acts, but that in this moment in John 20, in the evening when they're huddled together behind closed doors because they're afraid, is that this is Easter Sunday. This is the Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. They have heard the angels speak to them and tell them, he is not here, he is risen. They have gone to the empty tomb and seen it for themselves. They have heard the testimony of Peter and John. They have heard the testimony of Mary and the other women saying, Jesus is risen, we've seen him, we've spoken to him, we heard the message of the angels. And yet, even though it's Easter Sunday, they are still gathered together in fear. So the question becomes, what changed for them? And what can change for you and I in our everyday lives? How do we go from living in fear to living in the power of the name of Jesus? So I used to have a coach that would get me and a few other pastors together every single week, and he would disciple us, and he would help us grow and mature in our faith and as leaders and as pastors. And it was a really encouraging environment, but it was also challenging. Because one of the things that he would do every week is look at something that we were struggling with, something that we were weak in, an area that we wanted to grow in our lives, and he would make us create a plan of action for that week that would address that area in our lives. And so you would be in the group and we'd all be talking, and then it would come to you and you'd say, here's what I'm going to do this week. And then the next week we'd all get back together again. And I remember one week, because one of my big fears in life is talking to people I don't know. I'm introverted, have an anxiety disorder. I'd rather just, you know, huddle up on my own, away from people. The last thing I want to do is go out and meet new people. It's a big fear of mine. And then too, especially when I'm meeting those new people, have a conversation about Jesus. And so my mentor knew this, and so we're having these conversations, and we're going around the circle, and everybody's come up with their plans, and I'm getting more and more nervous because I know what he's going to make me do. And so he comes to me, and he says, Mark, I want you to confront your fear this week. Which I was like, please don't make me, right? I want you to confront your fear this week by talking with one of your neighbors, and I want you to talk about Jesus with them. Now, this wasn't a suggestion like the Good Samaritan of, well, everybody's my neighbor, because then I could just go to Pastor Danny and be like, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Great. And then come back the next week and say, bam, I got it done. Right? What he meant for me was one of my literal, physical, next-door neighbors. And so my anxiety is going off the charts. I'm terrified of this idea. And so I tell him, okay, I'll pray for it. I'll pray about it and how to do it. I'll ask God to help me. And then he says, I want you to tell your wife about it because my wife actually likes people and she'll hold me accountable and make sure that I do it. So she finds out and we start praying about it. And the week is starting to go by. One day, then the next day. And, you know, I'm just hoping that maybe I won't run into my neighbor. Because then I could just avoid it and be like, well, they never came out of their house. I never came out of my house. You know, how am I supposed to talk with them? Right? And so I'm praying about it. But I got to be honest. Has anybody ever said a prayer that you knew was a good prayer and a right prayer, but you're kind of hoping inside your heart that God's going to say no to that one? Right, then, you know, so I say the prayer, you know, Jesus, give me the opportunity to talk to my neighbor, help me conquer this fear, help me have a good conversation with them. And then my next prayer is, but if you could say no to it, that'd be really great. Amen. Right? And so I'm going through the week and we're coming to it, and the next day is gonna be when we have to get together and talk about how our weeks went and if we did the thing that we're supposed to do. And I'm just hoping, maybe I'll just get out of this. And so I pull into my driveway, And my neighbor is right there about 4 feet from me because it's Houston, so all the houses are right next to each other, right? And so I see him, and I'm sitting in my driveway in my car, and I'm just hoping maybe if I sit here long enough, it'll get awkward, and he'll leave. He'll stop waving at me. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm legitimately thinking, I'm just going to sit here until he goes away. But he doesn't go away. He stays there. And so I realize I'm going to have to get out of the car and talk to him. And I'm terrified. My palms are sweating. My heart's beating rapidly and racing. And so I get out of the car, and I'm hoping that it's just going to be, hey, how's it going? He'll say, hey, how's it going? We're both doing good. And I want to be like the disciples. I want to run into my house and lock the door and hide. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of how do I start this conversation? I'm afraid of what will happen if I do bring Jesus up. Like the apostles, I'm afraid. And I just want to hide and lock the door. So how does this change happen? How do the disciples, how do the apostles go from locking the door and hiding because they're afraid to be associated with Jesus to transitioning to Acts where it says, with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, right? With great power they were doing this. They weren't afraid anymore. They had courage and boldness. And if you read all of Acts, you'll see that they share Jesus when they're at temple, which is kind of like church. They share Jesus when they're marketplace. That's when they're at work. They share Jesus when they're at home with their families. Everywhere they go, they no longer hide in fear, but they live in power and tell people about the resurrection of Jesus. So how does the change happen? Because one of the things that can happen is that you and I can see these stories in Acts and go, that'll just never be me. I'm too afraid. I'll never be that brave and that bold in faith. But if we look at the story in John chapter 20, after it talks about them being gathered together in fear, Jesus appears to them. And in verse 21 says, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Peace, not fear, but peace instead. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. After saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The change that happens in the apostles' life that takes them from fear to power is a gift from Jesus. It's not their own effort. It's not their determination after hearing a sermon or going to Bible study and said, this will be the week. It's not them making a resolution and saying, you know what? I'm just going to live like this instead of like that from now on. The change that happens in them is a gift from Jesus. And the good news for you and I is that the same gift of peace and the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to the apostles, he gives to you and I. We receive the gift of his peace and Holy Spirit through faith, through baptism, through confession and absolution, that when we trust in Jesus, receive his forgiveness, we receive the same peace, the same Holy Spirit that he gave to the apostles. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and wisdom. He's saying that about you and I. That the same Holy Spirit that took the apostles from being grown men who are so afraid of being associated with the name of Jesus that they huddled together in one room and locked the doors, to men who boldly preached with power and shared the message of Jesus with all the people around them. It's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus gives to you and me to change us from living in fear to living in power. So now, meeting my neighbor, really when I was trapped from avoiding him. And all I wanted to do was run and hide. God had a different plan. So my neighbor and I start talking, you know, the typical, hey, how's it going? All good and all this stuff. And before I could run off, he asked me, so what do you think about Jesus and heaven and hell and all of that? And I got to tell you, I just chuckled on the inside at the humor of our God. Right? That here I am, the pastor, who is being challenged by his mentor to initiate a conversation about Jesus with his neighbor. And I'm completely terrified of it. And God says, here, I'll make it real easy for you. I'm going to make your neighbor ask the questions to you. And so for a second, I thought, is he trying to convert me? Am I supposed to convert him? Like, what's happened? Is this role reversal here? Right, and so I'm amused at God's humor. But I still had some fear about those questions. Because we all know it's one thing to know the answers are in our heads, but it's another thing to have a conversation with a person right in front of you about them. And so here's what I did. He asked me these questions, and my initial response was, because I was afraid. So I said a quick prayer in my head. I said, okay, God, you put me in this spot. You promised the Holy Spirit, so I'm asking you to keep that promise and to give me the right words to say. And we had a fantastic conversation that left my neighbor interested in Jesus and wanting to learn more. And I got to tell you, unfortunately for the life of me, I have no idea what I said. I wish I did. It's unfortunate, kind of bummer for me. But here's what I do remember about that moment. That in the middle of my fear of being associated with Jesus, of talking about Jesus, Jesus kept his promise to me. I remember the prayer I said. I remember Jesus keeping his promise. And I remember the Holy Spirit giving me the words I needed for that conversation. And friends, I got good news for you. He's going to keep that promise for you every single time in your life. That he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you a spirit of power and love and wisdom. So you, by trusting in him, go from living in fear to living in power. Let's pray.